know you can buy like a foot of space on the moon? Apparently they've oversold it. So they've actually sold out the moon about 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
But what's good is because they are now actually talking, which imagine saying that in like 100 years' time, people might possibly be able to spend time on the moon. And the problem they're going to have is that all these people have bought a piece of land for about 20 quid. There's going to be all these turf wars on the moon.
Skyscrapers.
Yeah. Very big Star Trek. These foot-long Star Trek. Who sells, exactly, who owns the moon to sell it? What man said, well, that's mine.
He even owns a bit of the moon. He's got a piece of the moon.
Really?
Yeah. Was it Sarah that bought it for you? Our daughter bought him. Yeah, he's got the paperwork to prove that he bought a part of the moon. She bought him a bit of the moon.
But like, I sort of don't think, well...
It's on eBay.
Do you own it right down to the core? Because if you do own it, that square foot right down to the core, think of all the cheese that you could be able to bring back.
I know.
And sell at supermarkets.
Yeah, I don't know how deep he is, whether he's just surface or cheese.
Welcome to the Saffron Planet Show. A mixed bag this week. First, we're going to look at the second time we look at the subject of the way to God, ways of finding God. Then we're going to move on to what we see as the future of the UK, quite an interesting talk, and we finish with reality TV. So, the first one is Way to God. Here, Louis explains how to connect to God, and we hear Simon's response, followed by a hearty discussion by the team.
Well, I think one of the key things also about sort of guilt and forgiveness, I suppose one of your questions is, if you feel guilty or you feel you need to be forgiven, is it that you have to turn to Christ? Because what if you feel that exact same thing and you turn to something else? Yeah. But my argument, or what I think the Bible presents, is that to genuinely have an understanding of your guilt and is to understand what the Bible presents from Adam through to Jesus and on, which is that we were sinful in front of God. You know, it says that even our greatest works are filthy rags. You know, God talks about his wrath. The issue is, to be just, God has to destroy and show anger towards that which is bad and that which is evil, right? Mm. And now, in mercy, God has decided, because it's completely within his right as a true and loving creator, and just, it's completely within his right to just wipe all of us off the face of the planet and not care. And he would still be just as loving and just as just and still be God. That would still be within his... But his mercy is so great that Christ died on that cross and felt exactly what we all deserve and what some people may feel if they don't acknowledge Christ. And that is the revelation that comes from knowing God. And that's not about feeling quite guilty or feeling a bit ashamed or feeling, oh, I made a few mistakes. It's actually that whole picture, just through connecting with God. It's not that you have to understand that 100% and clearly and know that from the word go, but it's connecting with that God, that true God, that is real repentance, not just signing up to a board of people, not just signing up to a religion, not out of sort of guilt, sort of thinking, oh, I'll try and be a bit better. It's about genuinely connecting with the God that...
Forgiving God.
That sees you where you were and commands you to change to be able to go into his presence through Jesus. Does that make sense?
And forgets about all those sins that you committed that you repented about. He forgets about for them.
But it's the knowledge of that mechanism of forgiving, or the lack of knowledge, that condemns people.
To understand it in detail, I think you have to.
People that just aren't aware of it, as I was saying before, people that
that is to assume.
God is righteous. He's not going to judge people if they've had absolutely no exposure.
Are you saying that because you want to believe that, or
no,
because it's actually written?
Because that's his nature.
Yeah, but
I believe it gives everybody a chance to actually know him.
But is that because you really want that to be the case? Because you...
What you're saying is find the scripture.
I don't want you to be saying that because you want it to be true on it. I want you to say that because that's what the Bible has...
It's the Bible that God doesn't want anyone to be lost. Right. You know, and it doesn't mean that, you
doesn't
know.
Doesn't mean there won't be.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that, oh, I'm, you know, those that haven't had a chance to read my Bible, I'm sorry about them, but they've yeah, there's small print hey, here, and they
all of the original church, they didn't have the New Testament. I mean, they had the Old Testament, obviously, but they were saved.
Yeah, through preaching, through witness of other people, but they didn't have the written word to, and they didn't have to go through theological college to understand it. No. I think they're trying to sort of overcomplicate it, perhaps.
I think it is complicated.
I think the simplicity of it is what's difficult to grasp.
But I think also possibly. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
And there is depth, there is simplicity. And there's simple truth, and there's the complex truth that goes deeper into it. Mm. But I think the truth is actually simple on the surface. Mm. But that is a simple depth, as opposed to complex shallowness.
I think at the same time, the Christian
this
faith...
is what a lot of other faiths do.
The thing with the Christian faith is there is absolutely... There's a lifeline through Jesus Christ, yeah? But there's nothing about you that is... You know, there's nothing about you that gets you there. There is nothing you can do, there is nothing you can say, there is nothing you can be except accepting Christ. You cannot earn it, you cannot become a better Christian than someone else, you cannot push yourself greater or make yourself smaller. And I think a lot, it's the only faith where you have to deny yourself and your own pride and say, there is no way that I can ever look in the face of God and say, yeah, I've done all right. Every single person, the greatest minister or pastors, people that wrote the Bible, the people that do huge evangelists, they will stand in front of God and they will have to admit that they are nothing. You know, as I said earlier, even your greatest works, the greatest thing a man will achieve as a Christian will be nothing more than a dirty rag in front of God. But I think that's the problem that we face. We want to be okay. We want to be quite confident about ourselves. And a lot of other faiths push that you have to work a lot, that you have to climb through various steps, you have to perform particular things, you have to do particular pilgrimages, whatever. I think the reason why people struggle with the Christian faith is you have to deny yourself and you have to admit that you're not as good as you think you are.
And that's why people feel very negatively towards Christianity, because in a way you're saying that you can commit the worst crime ever, but if you ask for forgiveness afterwards, then everything's okay. And that's why people are very
The thing about everything's okay, it doesn't mean that
those things weren't wrong.
It doesn't mean you don't go to prison, for example. If you've murdered someone, you go to prison.
You still have human justice. Yes. And
similarly,
sinning in the eyes of God, you don't necessarily go to prison.
Eternally, you can be forgiven, yeah, even while you're having to deal with the human aspect of what you've done in that case.
Johnny, have you ever sinned?
I was about to say, that's also the reason that we were talking about before, how simply deep the Christian faith is compared to complex shallowness, or that whole thing there is also why people are so casual about being a Christian. That's why there's so many unsaved Christians, sort of thing, people that assume to be Christians, because it's a simple thing to be. You don't have to go on pilgrimage, you don't have to do these sort of things, but they sort of miss out a whole chunk of it. That they have to sort of have this in their heart.
Because the works do come afterwards.
They see Christians living and think, well, I could easily do that. Yeah. And sort of assume they have religion. They go for the religion rather than the faith.
It is something that should change you. And then you start, hopefully you change. Hopefully improving the way you are. But not in order to get salvation. Salvation is through the...
I've joined the club now. I mean, I can go back and live my life. Because I have the assurance that I'll be okay.
And we do backslide. And we do wrong. And we still sin. And we still mess up.
But
that's through our weakness.
But you can still deal with it.
You suffer possibly even more from it.
This doctrine of once saved, always saved, and it doesn't really sit very well with me. So many people think once they've done that, then they can live the rest of their lives as they like. It's the prevalent philosophy of this age in the Christian world is that people have a false assurance.
Well, and can go off and forget about it.
Yeah, and so many, it's all like, I was baptised when I was a kid, that makes me all right. Right, I suppose that's how the Catholics believe. They've been through that rite of passage, and means they were Christian from when they were 2 months old.
Right.
And they're saved as a result of that.
Yeah.
And a lot
that's
of...
That's why Hitler's not in heaven.
Yes. Well, from what we can see of his behaviour, he cannot say that he is a genuine heart. Yes, exactly. It's case human. You just have to. You will naturally, by your human birth, by being related to the first Adam, you will be able to connect with God, and God will be able to meet you
where you are.
And that's not because of not because of a biological thing. It's not about getting into an English or Western. We've got this idea in the West that we've managed culture, and if you're not part of the Western culture, you're not civilized. But it's all about the heart, which every person has, no matter where they are and what culture they're in and how good they are at speaking.
So can we conclude that you don't need to know Jesus in order to get to heaven?
No, I'm saying that you can know Jesus without being in a very English culture.
Right.
I can say you don't have to be in a nice English Western culture to know Jesus. Jesus can meet you without us and our culture.
But does it help to be so exposed to the gospel?
Not necessarily.
Compared to...
Look at the amount of atheists that are in our society.
It can go against you if you've been presented the gospel in the wrong way.
Or if you've been presented with alternatives to the gospel, which are huge.
So is more choice worse off than no choice at all?
Well, it's all on who you are.
I guess in a lot of ways it is.
In some people, yeah.
Okay, we now move on to the current state of our country and the future of our country. Some big topics here, so let's hope you find this of interest to you. Okay, off we go.
Do you think America is actually as important as it thinks it is?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean,
could the world, if America, if America just not was destroyed or anything like that, but if America didn't exist for just some reason at the moment, would there be a huge catastrophe in the world, or would actually we be all right?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know at all. But thinking in terms of the future for America, I think the future looks incredibly bleak, as it does for Britain. Mm. And for this reason, that America has borrowed untold billions of dollars, trillions, from Muslim countries and totalitarian regimes, which are the very opposite of American interests, and to have gone to such people cap in hand without recognizing that there will be the day of reckoning when they say, right, we'll have the payoff now, please, is just incredible deception. But as with our own government, our Mr. Brown going cap in hand to Saudi Arabia and saying, please, can we have money to bail us out? You see, I mean, if you wanted to borrow money, you would not go to a loan shark unless you were an idiot. That's exactly what he's doing. And they are going to want their pound of flesh. And their pound of flesh is going to be complete Muslim domination.
Yep.
That's what they'll want. Mm-hmm. And that's what he has paid for. Mm-hmm. And that's what we shall have.
I've got Brown's phone number. Why don't you phone him up? He's probably not aware of what you're telling us.
Well, that's true, though. Of course he's aware. He's aware of where he's borrowed it from. Mm. Where do you think he's borrowed it from?
He doesn't think he's aware of the implications and the complications of it all, though, is he? Because he doesn't realise that what he's done is put a noose around Britain. And what America is doing, they've done the same. Yeah, and when you think about it, Chris, in time that will all show up because we know what's behind all of this. It's the spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle, and we forget that half the time. And we will lose that hold because of the things that are going on.
But surely, right? If we look at just the simple way in which people talk about immigrants. How do you really think the English people would respond if someone turned around? So I'll start again. We can take it away. That's right. If I'll wait till the phone stops. We can cut it all out.
Living in hopes.
If you see how England and like in general we've responded merely to people, things like immigration and people coming in phone. Do you really think that the English people will be silent if something to do with Islam having a hold? Surely the people, let alone necessarily the government, surely the people themselves. If someone turned around and said, right, due to various financial situations, in 2 years' time, we're going to be having Sharia law, I don't think the people will just sit down and let that happen, though. So I don't know whether necessarily it will happen quite as powerfully as it wants, purely because the people of the UK... But the people of the UK...
In Germany, they had a Goebbels.
Yeah.
True.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were the most sophisticated race in the whole of Europe. And they turned their heads.
I mean, look at our situation now. Mm. Things have been put through in our country, which, when I was a nipper, which is only about 20 years ago, of course, would never, ever have been countenanced. To think that such things have been passed without any objection in this Christian country.
The anti-smoking law, I'm surprised there wasn't more people moaning about it.
Yeah.
But it went through so easily.
Absolutely. But the abortion laws too. Yeah. Right, I mean, people have been softened up.
Yeah.
And therefore, when it's brought in, there's no reaction.
Yeah.
And that's how it will be. People will be so softened up because of this one world thing. Yeah. And all religions are the same. And we all worship the same God and all this stuff. And we have to be tolerant with one another, and the way to deal with terrorism is to appeal for peace and all this. Absolutely. Well, I taught him all he knows. So, you know, it doesn't faze me at all, the thought that if they come along and say, right, Sharia law, as from next Tuesday week, I don't think anybody will raise the slightest objection. And even if they do, they will be branded as bigots and enemies of society.
We'd be in trouble.
What a lot of people have got mixed up with is the fact that race and religion are different. A lot of people attach race to religion. And so, if you're against what a Muslim says, you're being racist. It's got to do with the belief system. Absolutely. I think those sort of things need to be opened up more, just as general conversation. Mm-hmm. That they're not saying race is not religion and religion is not race. Mm-hmm. So don't tie them together.
But that's done deliberately.
Absolutely.
To gag you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can say so little now, and you even get to the point where you can't even swear on radio, and you can't
thank phone people,
can't call old people anymore.
Which when they change the name of Christmas into the Winter Festival.
Oxford has done that.
In order to sort of appease the Muslims. The Muslims are saying, we don't care. Holy Christmas.
Why is it so stupid?
Yeah.
Muslims
don't care.
Liberal pagans, basically.
Yeah.
Liberal, isn't it? And the birth of Jesus, isn't that recognised anyway?
Now, final talk. Reality TV. Good or bad, you decide. Off we go.
Go and call that. Really good or really bad?
Really bad.
People watch it.
Even though you actually went along to a general show.
Did you?
I went in the audience and I felt really bad because you're in.
Oh, yeah.
They goad the crowd. They really do say, look, when someone's done something wrong, boo and boo and boo.
Yeah.
And when they've done something right, clap and scream and shit. They want you to be as harsh as possible.
So it's not real?
Well, I don't know. They're just.
I think half of them must be actors. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. A lot of I know for a fact that Jerry Springer, all of them are actors on that.
All of them?
Yeah, they employ a lot more people than just the crew, yeah.
But it's like, it's part of it, mate. I watch it and I sort of think, well,
I'll clean myself with a rag on stick.
What was the one we just saw? Wait, what was that? Novakovich one. Go on, Simon, you quite. Louis,
I can't quite.
What was that woman's name?
There was a guy saying, my girlfriend Shandrika says I come back smelling of sex. That's not true. I just like lots of sardines. I eat them all the time. And so they go, what are you?
That's not
how did that happen? But like, I think though, there's a real sense in which this program is displaying, especially like Christians, the symptoms of the last couple of generations. You know, why have we got these people 14 years old and had sex with 50 men? You know what I mean? It's showing the symptoms of a dying world on TV.
The triviality of people wanting to watch that sort of stuff.
It's true. And it's glorifying it.
It's good to watch even more of the people that actually go along to the show to watch them.
It was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I was being in the world, but not of it. I didn't clap or boo.
And he gave you a little preach afterwards.
I prayed. Actually, I got to go on the stage and pretend that I had an affair.
Did you? You actually were...
Not for the programme. Oh. Just like so that the crowd could like...
Boo you.
Yeah, I had to pretend with some other...
You volunteered?
Yeah, I volunteered to go on the stage to practice.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And I went on and I was with some other random person, some girl, and they said, oh, you've got... Right, pretend you've had an affair. And so I said, I've been sleeping with your sister because you're fat. I've got a vast quantity of booze. They were like, thanks, sir, you've really practiced their booing there. Brilliant. That was my first ever bit where I tried to make people laugh and succeed.
That was your first stand-up comedy.
It was, pretending to be someone that had an affair.
Launched yourself as a person.
In the world, but not of it.
I didn't know any of this. You didn't tell us this at the time.
I was too...
Don't you dare forget that in your autobiography when you're famous. Yeah. We will remind you to put that in as
the Jeremy Kyle incident.
The Jeremy Kyle moment.
He started me off on my illustrious career.
That led to
everything else went wrong. Yeah.
Just all those the crowd of booing just made you want more.
Yeah, I was like, I like this. Yeah. but no, it's that thing we sort of sit there and go, oh no, it's terrible. But all it is what the world is like. Yeah, I mean, even if these lot are actors, it's not completely ridiculous. They're not saying I was impregnated by an alien. These are all bad relationships that could have and will have happened in someone's
life.
It's
a window into the world, isn't it?
And I sort of watch it, and there's a mixture. Part of you sort of goes, oh, look, it's funny. And then part of you, your heart breaks and goes, this is the legacy that the 60s and 70s have left us.
Yeah.
And, you know, but also, as Christians, we're supposed to deal with it.
But maybe we're looking at it wrong. Maybe what this is showing us is our need for entertainment at any person's cost. Because we're watching someone whose life is crumbling.
Unraveling before us.
Exactly.
Well, the other very controversial programme that went on American TV and British TV about a few months ago was basically with the police, this TV company worked to set up a house. Right, where they used a girl that's about 19, 20, that looked about 12. Yeah. And what they'd do is they'd talk to paedophiles on the internet and invite them to this house.
Yeah, I watched that.
And then the police would just jump on them.
Like a honey trap. Entertainment.
It's a honey trap, and it was on television.
Really? As entertainment? As an entertainment. Or as a news item?
No, it was a living TV programme to catch a predator.
Yeah, it's to catch a predator,
To catch a predator.
That's what it's called.
It's basically... it's a serious thing, and they arrest the people afterwards. It was very weird.
But what they were trying to do was they were using the TV. It was a weird entertainment program, and it shouldn't have been entertainment.
It wasn't really entertaining.
But part of you was quite intrigued. Thinking, you get this theory that they're going to... It's just quite... There's a strange joy in watching a paedophile getting really badly beaten up by some police. It's like, awesome.
Yeah, I'd
a bit of justice. Maybe not quite... But no, it's just a really weird... You don't know why you're watching it, because...
It was really strange.
It's dark and weird, but it's not like...
It's enticing.
Like, but it's not like you're watching something... You're not going to watch anything illegal happen, blah, 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 blah. It's not glorifying
video. Turning it into entertainment.
But turning it into TV, is that a conscious move?
It's working on the darker side of your own personality. It's feeding your darkness, isn't it? Really?
It's feeding on the old knitting around the guillotine.
Yeah. It's feeding on the intrigue.
The judgment side of it.
But think about this. It hasn't exactly got worse over the last 50, 60 years, because there used to be public hangings.
Yeah.
People used to go to those.
Christians being fed to lions. I mean, that was an...
No, even
that
wasn't that in London. If you paid a shilling, you could go into bed and watch all the mad people.
Young,
really?
Yeah. Watch the mad people.
Calling us.
What?
Sorry. It's not worth it.
Say what you said again.
Mine was much more worthy than what Worthy said. They used to be able to pay money in Victorian England and go into Bedlam and watch the mad people.
Right. Yeah.
And watch them what?
Like, the mad people, just watch them. You know, doing their daily stuff.
The disturbing thing, though, about the hangings, right, controversially, it was the church that did a lot of it.
To put people off from the crimes.
They took the judgment on themselves, and so... You know, if someone was gay or had been caught having an affair or something, they would string them up and hang them in public.
Yeah, they'd hang them for sort of stealing an egg.
Yeah, you know, that too.
Kicking a pig or something,
Hang sheep, didn't they? Things like that. Yeah.
Sorry?
Trials.
Yeah, hang animals and things. Yeah,
hat. You're joking.
So, how could hanging a sheep deter the other sheep? Because
Just follow what the other sheep do.
What are you doing up there then?
That's a weird. They always gave them a fair trial first.
That's right, yeah.
They were able to speak in their defence.
The sheep's looking like, that's a really weird swing ball. What do we do with that? But no, it's true though. We've always there's always been a bit of us that liked watching.
So you're right. So Jerry Springer and General
Carter. It's just a modern version.
It's just a modern version.
And in many ways, it's a tamer version because I know
no one gets hurt.
You watch them fight, but theoretically, they say they give them a lot of counselling afterwards. Yeah. Where do they do? There's no proof of it. Yeah. Jeremy Kyle goes back and visits them sometimes. You say, look. Yeah. Dad used to hit me, and now we're bowling and stuff like that. So, which obviously you will fix then. So there's kind of a medicinal angle to it. They're trying to help them medicate the pain.
Yet at the same time,
get a bit of entertainment out of it.
Counseling.
But there's a lot of documentaries that do the same. Like, they'll get some crazy woman and they'll try and teach her how to do something, and then they'll make a documentary out of
it. It's almost like
adults
amazing people
English.
That sort of show the world's smallest people, or people with a special, I don't know, something, a genetic disorder, and they sort of, don't mention any channels, Channel 4, Channel 5, that they show these shows, and most of the viewership watch it just to see these freaks.
It's
just like, it's like circuses.
Worthy entertainment, because we know that they're getting fixed at the
same time. It's like a circus. It's almost like poking fun of them. It's not
raising, and they advertise them like mad, those programmes.
But the phrase that they'll use is, amazing. Advertising, you know, diversity, or displaying things that you wouldn't normally see to sort of help your understanding is what they'll say. But you don't think that's what they're doing,
thinly veiled.
Yep. You think they're trying to create excuses to keep it going?
The words special and amazing are used, but really it's just like the old
weird is what they mean.
Come look behind this curtain, a treasure from the seven seas, a man with four fingers.
It's like circus sideshows. Sideshow I went to once. So it said play 1 and 6 to come and see a fairy water otter. On the wedding, there's a huge kettle all furred up.
What?
Right, you did pay 1 and 6 for fairy water otter.
So I think it's time to pray. So
that's popular culture.
This has been the Saffron Planet Show with the Malts, the Worth and the Jeffrey family, with special guests Chris Casher, Johnny and Jaime. Editing by Steve Maltz, mixing by Steve Jeffrey, and music by Howard Worth. SaffronPlanet.net. See you next week. Bye. Saffron Planet.